Hey, it's Saturday, y'all. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Happy Saturday. We have arrived at the weekend, and we have made it. And old man winter still hanging around out here. A little more snow yesterday. Thankfully, they got the roads cleaned off, and we can still get around. Looking forward to being able to be at church tomorrow. Last week, unable to get out due to the weather. Thankfully, tomorrow is a go. We're looking forward to a great day in the house of the Lord today or tomorrow. Hope everybody's got a great day out in front of you planned. I don't know what your plans are. No, I'm just going to work around here and get some stuff done around the house and get prepared for tomorrow. But I hope you have a great day out in front of you. And we're going to get started here this morning. I have thoroughly enjoyed teaching every morning. I hope you are enjoying listening every morning. But you know, I find it almost therapeutic for me to have these, albeit one-sided, conversations. I find it very relaxing. I find it enjoyable. I find it to be encouraging. And I learn as I'm talking, as I'm teaching up and sharing, I learn some things. I hear, I guess you could say hearing from God would be the only way to express that, but I'm thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to study the Word and to learn it, and to know it, and to share it. So I'm glad that you're joining with me today. Those of you that are hopping on, Brother Charlie Belt, Sister Margaret, Sister Carol, thank y'all for joining. And for those that watched last night on the church Facebook page, we did release the registration for All About Us 2025. If you have not made plans to invest in your marriage, that is a great way to do it. If you're not being intentional about your marriage, you will eventually you will see some cracks begin to show. And so this is our way as a church, and this is my wife and I, this is our way of investing in the marriages of our church and our community. And this is open to the community. This is open to the public. This is not a closed event. Anyone can go online and register and go to that event. So share that. It is out there on the church Facebook page. So share that link with your friends and family, and let's invest in our marriages. And it's going to be a great weekend. And then that following Sunday will be the culmination, and we'll have a service that day. Brother Jeremy Allen will be staying over and preaching for us that Sunday. So we're looking forward to a great time on February 14th, 15th, and 16th. For All About Us 2025. I read to you yesterday, I think it was, or day before yesterday, I can't remember. A lot of these devotions begin with lyrics of an old song or a poem or something of that nature. Today, there's this, I'm assuming just some kind of it's a poem, a writing, a phrase, a piece of encouragement, but and maybe it was a song that I didn't know, right? Imagine that, something that a song I don't know. That's hard to believe, I know, right? For those of you CalTab folks. But shut in with God in a secret place, there in the spirit, beholding his face. It sounds like a song, doesn't it? Gaining new power to run in this race. That is a song. I have heard that song. Oh, I love to be shut in with God. Oh, I love to be shut in with God. What better time of year to be teaching about being shut in than when we've got 8 to 12 inches of snow on the ground outside? What better time of, what better day to be teaching a lesson on being shut in than the day that everybody is literally has been shut in, and southern states are shut down. They're not just shut in, they're shut down. I was looking on social media yesterday and day before yesterday, as the Thursday and Friday, as the snow began to make its way across the great state of Arkansas, and all of my friends and family were posting pictures, and of course it's a rarity down that far south to get that much snow, and so they're enjoying it. The kids are loving it. But I started seeing the post, you know, if you don't have to travel, don't get out. If you don't have to travel, don't get out. And here it's, I had to adjust to this fact because I was used to that. If you don't have to travel, don't get out mentality. And then when we moved to Quincy and we get snow and I'm like, man, looks like we're going to be snowed in a couple of days. Everybody's like, no, the roads be clear by this afternoon. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that our state and our city works diligently to keep our roads clear. But shut in is a phrase that we're probably not real. Nobody wants to be shut in. Let's just be honest. Nobody wants to be shut in, cut off, closed off, put away. But sometimes it is important, a lot of the time, it is important to be shut in with God. Now, some phrases of Scripture, it calls it the secret place. You may call it your prayer closet. You may call it, like I did for a long time, the basement, right? You may have that space, but I want to address a couple of things today that I hope to unpack and share with you, that there is a value to having that space and that time of prayer. Shut in with God in a secret place is where I want to be. I enjoy going to prayer meeting. I do. I enjoy going to the church on Tuesday nights and spending time in prayer with the body of believers that God has so blessed us to work alongside. I enjoy those nights that we are gathered together for corporate prayer. And that is much needed. That is that is biblical. That is definitely a plus. It definitely makes a difference, but there's something about that secret place. When you get to that secret place with just you and God, and you find yourself just turning everything aside, turning everything off, taking your device, turning it off, putting it off to the side, leaving it outside the room, wherever you go, and just have that place that you meet with God. Some of you, I've shared with you the picture, a lot of you that have been to our home, you see that picture that hangs right beside our front door. As we come down the stairs every morning or whenever, that picture is there to greet us. And it's a picture of my grandpa standing out in his front yard, and he's just got his hands raised. You know, he's praying. And it was Father's Day. I don't remember the year, but we all surprised him that day for Father's Day service. And my brother-in-law and sister were there at the house. And Grandpa had just walked out. He didn't know we were all coming. Grandpa just walked out down the yard. And he was just down there at the end of his little walking trail. And he was just spending time with the Lord. He was praying. That was a regular occurrence for him. He would just slip off. And he would just walk down to the end of the yard. And there he would pray. And there he would seek the face of God. And there he would commune with God. It was his secret place. It was his hiding place. find a place. And today I want to encourage you for you to find that place and to declare it your secret place. Like, this is where I go when all hell is breaking loose. If I can just get to that room, when all of life's troubles begin to be more than you can bear, you just find your way into that room and know that God is going to meet you there. So today I want to share with you the prayer of a man named Hezekiah. And I want to unpack some things out of his prayer life and bring some light to what I believe a practice that would do us all, we would all do ourselves a favor to participate in. Because in short, we are endeavoring, or we should be endeavoring, to close the gap. We should be endeavoring to close the gap between us and God. There should not be a day that we're not trying to draw closer to the Lord. I was reminded of the old song again, that draw me nearer, right? Nearer, blessed Lord. That needs to become a cry of ours. But we're not going to draw nearer to Him if we're not moving in that direction, if we're not attempting to get closer to Him. Because we have to make the steps necessary on our side. And one of those steps is simply by spending time in prayer. The psalmist wrote in the 91st Psalm, he said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now just let that settle in your mind for just a moment. Because he that abides would indicate that you're staying there for a season of time, at least. You're not just passing through. You didn't just accidentally get there. You weren't forced to go there. You made a choice, and you stayed there for a substantial amount of time. See, there's been a lot of times I've accidentally stumbled into someone's prayer. be at church not paying attention, and someone starts praying, or sitting down at a table to eat a meal, and you're just blah 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 blah, and down at the other end of the table, they're thanking God for the meal. They're saying grace. There's been times that I've stumbled into others' prayer. There's also been times that I've stumbled into my prayer too, just falling face first into it because I'm so weary and worn. But I think that one of the things that we need to learn is that consistency is key. To build a habit, it takes 21 days, right? I think they say it only takes 7 days to break it, if I remember that right. Somebody correct that in the comments if I'm not. But it takes repeating over and over again. So we learn by repetition. We learn by highlighting something. We learn a lesson by doing it again and again and again, or we learn a lesson in our day. If we want something to leap off of the page of writing, if I'm writing my notes for a sermon or a Bible study, and I've got a point that I really want to make, I use the tools here that are before me, and I use, you know, if I'm using Word, or if I'm using Pages, or if I'm using, you know, a PDF, I have the ability to go in and highlight a portion, highlight some, you know, a line in there, or underline, or bold, or italicize. I have the ability to emphasize it. But in the days of Scripture, when the Scriptures were being written, they didn't have the ability to highlight, so they would say things with repetition. And this repetition begins to show us some pretty good principles of living. 25 times Jesus says, "Verily, verily," or "Amen, amen." Jeremiah once said, "O earth, earth, earth." Repetition brings emphasis in Scripture. How many parables do we find in Scripture, you know, where, you know, that's found in all four Gospels? How many times, how many accounts, how many stories are in all of them? Because repetition brings about clarity. It emphasizes not only the word, but also the story. If you remember, what was the parables that Jesus, one of the parables that Jesus was teaching one day, he starts and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like." He finishes that one and he says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like." He finishes that one. He says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like." He was bringing to them emphasis on this particular point. But backing up from the emphasis of the particular point and seeing the principle of the practice of repetition. This is why when we look at Hezekiah's prayer in the Old Testament, the king of Judah, he had encountered God. This account of his encounter with God is noted three different times in the Old Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 18. And 19, and then in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and then the prophet Isaiah references it in Isaiah chapter 37. One of the most amazing examples and beautiful examples of prayer in what we would call the secret place. See, the backstory to that secret place for Hezekiah was the fact that King Sennacherib of the Assyrian army, the Assyrian army had come in and they were about to win. They were going to literally, it was total subjugation. It was going to be complete and total annihilation. There were not going to be anyone, there was not going to be anyone left. And to add insult to injury, the king of Assyria sends a letter to King Hezekiah. And the message there predicts Judah's destruction. It's described in great detail. I mean, he doesn't hold back. He gives, look, this is what's going to happen to you. And he, what was going to happen and how they were going to do it, he gives them an ultimatum. He said, either you immediately surrender, or this is what I'm going to do to you. King Hezekiah was inside this day and culture where it wasn't uncommon for the king in those settings that was being conquered, in this case, Hezekiah. He lived in a generation where it wasn't uncommon for him as the king to gather a band of men around him and they would help him to escape, leaving the city and the people to the Assyrians in this case. But instead of doing that, instead of fleeing and, you know, and forming alliances with another nation, instead of running away, the good king did something unusual. King Hezekiah, he takes this letter that was given to him, this letter of threats and demands, and the Bible says that he goes in and he strips off his robe, he takes off his crown, he takes off his kingly garments, he removes the jewelry, he removes everything that would identify him as the king, and the Bible tells us that he put on sackcloth, which is a coarse, uncomfortable garment that was used, and it was an emblem of mourning, right? Remember, Job did that. He said in sackcloth and ashes. It was a tradition. It was a representation that if you saw someone with a with sackcloth on, they were in mourning. It was emblematic of that. So note the process here. The king is attacked. The king decides, I'm staying. The king removes his kingly garments, and then the king puts on the garment of mourning. And then he does something that I find absolutely amazing, while at the same time, I think we're probably all could say that we find it a little bit, maybe even impossible. Maybe it would, maybe not, but Isaiah records it, Isaiah 37, verse 17. This is the prayer of Hezekiah. He says, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words. Now watch this. Hear the words of Sennacherib. Not hear my words. In other words, he goes in and he tells the king, he tells the Lord, he says, look, Lord, would you look what he said? I want you to look and I want you to see what King Sennacherib is saying about us. I want you to hear the words of Sennacherib, which has been sent to reproach, not me. He didn't say he's been sent to kill me. He didn't say this guy is causing me all sorts of suffering. He just said he has threatened and sent reproach to the living God. Shut in with God in a secret place, Hezekiah asked God to see things from his perspective. And Sennacherib did not just come against Israel, but he had attacked Israel's God. And Hezekiah goes into his secret place and conveys to the Lord the condition of his circumstances, but he didn't say, this is about me. He said, this is about you and your kingdom, Lord. God responded through Isaiah. God sends a message to Hezekiah, which with the opening salutation says, because you have prayed. I absolutely, when reading that yesterday, last night and early this morning, again, reading that whole passage of scripture in Isaiah 34 and 21 is where that's at. He says, and it opens up with him saying, and because you have prayed to God. God's actions were preceded by Hezekiah's racing to his secret place. I've just got to get to that spot. I've just got to get to that place. Guys, here, take the robe, take the crown, take the rings, take the shoes, take every part of me that identifies me as a king, because I'm in mourning because this guy has come against my God. That's the essence of it. Then God turned all of his attention to Sennacherib. And it's as if God said, I read your letter, and I know what you said about me. And he says in Isaiah, it's Isaiah 37 and 35, he says, I will defend my people. In short, he's saying, I will not let you get away with this, you sorry heathen, you. And the angel of the Lord, that night, the angel of the Lord goes into the camp of Assyria and kills 185,000 soldiers. Sennacherib retreats to Assyria, and when he went to worship in his house of his gods, his sons came and killed him. Now, just go figure. How in the world did that happen? Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High are secure. Those who seek refuge elsewhere live in peril. So there is value to be found in having that secret place. In having that spot that you go to on a regular basis, there is value in that. Because when you designate that place, it's almost as if it makes it a tangible thing, right? It's almost like it makes it something that is tangible, that you can get your hands on, that you can, like, prayer is not just a thing. Now there's something tangible about it. And when I walk into that space, when I walk into that room, when I go into that little closet under the staircase, wherever your place is. But we are creatures of habit. And while the place of prayer isn't nearly as important as the act of prayer, having a designated space and even a designated time that we do this on a regular basis encourages consistency. Whether it's the closet of prayer that Jesus talked about in Matthew 6, whether it's the tent of meeting like Exodus and Moses, Exodus 33, or whether it was like David in Psalm 61 where he called it his refuge. Whatever you choose to call it, the secret place is where you meet with God. David describing the secret place and there in Psalm 91 that we read earlier, after he describes a secret place, he's declaring his trust in God. And God responds to him by, David said this, I, or in him will I trust. And God responds by saying in Psalm 91, verse 14 through 16, he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and I'll show him my salvation. Go to the secret place and wondrous things will happen. When you get into that space, when you get into that place, there, he says, you're secure in the arms of the Almighty. Is God calling you to a secret place today? And are you finding your way to that secret place? Do you have an idea? And, you know, the army besieged Israel, and Hezekiah literally interprets the chaos as an invitation to the secret place. Good morning, Barbara Kay. Are you cold and shut in down there in the mountain home? Is Hezekiah begins to say that he looks at the circumstances. He looks at the conditions. He looks at his chance of winning, and they're not good. And he views it not as a sign of the end, but he views it as an invitation into the holy place, into his secret place with God. So all of your trials, your tribulations, your struggles, your weaknesses, all of your temptations, all of your failures, every attack, the list goes on and on and on, right? With all of these things, could it be that God is saying, I wish you would view this as the invitation to meet me in that secret place? I think he's calling some of you. I think you probably, you know, have a space that you've been thinking about what you're going to do with it, and you're not exactly sure. And so I think God's calling some of us to that secret place. I think he wants all of us to have that secret place. So today, as we get ready to conclude, and we took a little extra time up at the front for a couple of things that talking about all about us, but so I want to be mindful of the time. I am aware of the time. But you have to make room for the secret place. The secret place has got to become a priority to you. You don't just stumble into it. Like, it takes some planning. I know people, I have friends in Arkansas that they built the house. And when they built the house, they were showing me around as the house was going up and it was still in the framing stage. And it was the coach at Aiden's elementary school. And she takes me into the, you know, through the living room and out of the kitchen and into a bedroom. And in the bedroom, it was in the master, it would have been in the master bedroom. The stairs going up were on the opposite side of one of the walls in the master bedroom. And she had the builders to frame a doorway that led to a little spot under the stairs. And she said, and here, this is going to be my prayer closet. She had it built into her house. She didn't just go, okay, I'm going to find a spot. No, she planned to have this place built in her home. How inspiring is that? That is just, that's incredible. I think that we all should have that level of desire to steal away with God and get in that secret place with Him. I want to read you a story today because I find it very fitting considering the fact of our scripture that we read. A couple by the name of Chris and Deanne were overwhelmed. A financial challenge had loomed and they didn't have the resources to meet it. One evening, they put their kids to bed and they sat in the living room and distressed by the situation, worried. And all of a sudden, out of the silence comes the words, if you need help, dial 911. They look at each other, they shrugged, but again, where did that come from? And all of a sudden, there it was again. If you need help, dial 911. The couple, for just a moment, forgot about the stress and forgot about the worry, forgot about the problem that they were facing. And they begin to search through the house, and they heard the voice again. If you need help, call 911. They can tell that the sound is coming from out in the garage, and so they slowly slip out into the garage. And there they find a basket of toys that had fallen over. And Chris reaches down and he picks up a toy ambulance. And it says, you guessed it, if you need help, dial 911. As the voice spoke, Chris later said that, I heard God speaking to me in through that ambulance. I heard God speaking to me. So he raced back into his house. He opened the Bible. He scanned through the contents, the table of contents, and he found the only book that has 91 chapters in it. And he went to the 91st Psalm and read the first verse, to which it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Good Lord. 911. Psalms 91:1 says, get a secret place and see that God doesn't meet you there. See that when you get to that spot, that when you get to that place, that you hear the voice of God saying, I've got you. As Hezekiah would say, God, would you look at what they said about you? They didn't say it about me. They said it about you, because what they've done to the least of these, they've done it unto you. And God, you see my circumstances, you see my struggles, you see my weakness, but I'm in my secret place now, and I'm sharing to you my deepest, darkest hurts and burdens. Because in the secret place where I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You don't face one need that cannot be met by God when discussed with Him in that secret place. So guys, it's Saturday. So go ahead and clean out that basement bedroom today. Go ahead and clean out that extra closet that you have just got everything crammed into. Maybe that extra bedroom where the freshman has run off to college. Find your secret place and make it a priority. Meet the Lord there daily and see that you don't find his presence to surround you. And see that when you walk into that room every morning, that maybe it might feel the same as it did for Adam and Eve in the cool of the day when he would come down and walk through the garden with them. That maybe when you open that door the first thing in the morning, you've done it enough. When you open the door, the air that comes out of that room is just saturated with the presence of Almighty God. I want to encourage you today. Get that place with him. Your struggles, your worries, your doubt, and your fear. These are nothing more than heaven's invitation for you to meet God in that secret place. So go ahead, go make that secret place today and find that God doesn't meet you there when you show up. I want to pray with us this morning as we leave and go our separate ways. And I want to ask God to give you wisdom and to give you desire and to give you a plan of how can you create that space. You say, you don't, my house is little, my house is busy, my house is crazy. I understand. They all are. But you'll make plans. You will make happen what you prioritize. So I want to encourage you today, make this a priority and get in that secret place. God, I love you today. I thank you for your presence that I feel even now here in this room. I thank you, God, that as we steal away, as we hide away in the secret places of our homes, and it's the secret place of the Most High. And if we dwell in that secret place with you, there our struggles, our weaknesses, our battles, our tears, our worries, our cares, our burdens, God, every part of our lives, when we carry them into that secret place, you stand ready to assist. You stand ready and able to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to be our strength, to be our comfort, to be our guide. Whatever we need, we find it there in that secret place. I pray, God, today that you would help us to navigate these times. And I pray, God, that you would help us to establish the patterns and the practices, the repetitions of hiding away in that secret place. And we're going to be careful to give you praise. I ask that you go with us now. God, keep your hand upon us as we go our separate ways. And we thank you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, I hope y'all have had a wonderful morning so far, and I pray that you have a great day out in front of you. I believe that God is going to do great things in your life. Go find a secret place and see that God doesn't meet you there today, guys. I love y'all. Be humble. Be kind. We'll see y'all right back here tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., for another edition, day 7 of 21 Days of Growth. God bless you. Have a great day.